Well, welcome back, folks. We were just notified by Freddie King's office that he got pulled into a critical meeting. There's a lot going on, a lot happening in city government right now, and he's going to try and break away and join us at some point. He may or may not be able to do so. But what we were going to discuss was this most recent happenstance as it relates to restaurants and bars, their liquor licenses being expired, their notices that are sent out, or emails that are sent out reminding folks of it, and it becomes an issue. There's no follow through, and the next thing that they know, that as the months pass and they haven't renewed, the fines and the fees are stacking up. And that's kind of the issue, right? And I understand what the businesses are saying. Obviously, one side of the argument is, well, you're in business. This is your obligation. You need to stay current on these licenses. You have a state license. You have a local license. You have an occupational license. You pay sales taxes. You pay property taxes if you own the property or otherwise. But as I went through that list and thinking back to when, you know, we used to do this, there's a bunch of different ways in communicating with business owners, right? Whether it be that occupational license that you have to fill out as well. And it may be that you try to align these licenses in many respects that may make more sense. So if you open your bar in August, let's say. We're in the month of August. You open your bar in August. The question is, and you're paying your occupational license taxes in at the end of the year, why not align all of these taxes so that everyone knows that it's that point of the year where you're going to be doing that, as opposed to you know, when you open the business. So you short-term the license or you extend the license beyond a year the first time to get it on the cycle where, you know, you can communicate with business owners in and around the city one time. Property taxes are due. Occupational license taxes are due. And, you know, you can make it so that your ABO license for the municipal side will be due at that same time. So you know that at the end of December or the beginning of January, that all of these things are going to come due at that point in time. And that way you don't have things falling through the crack, and you're communicating with your taxpayers a lot at that period of time. You're also sending out property tax bills, right? And on those property tax bills, you could put a reminder, you know, it's easily done for ABO outlets that don't forget, you know, your ABO license is due on such and such date, you know, as a reminder on the property tax. Because the reality is you want to collect the tax, right? And you want these people to maintain their license because they're generating sales tax dollars for you. You want to remove the hurdles for business and make it as easy as possible to renew these things so that they don't have to be chasing this around. As easy as possible to pay for them to continue the license. Not difficult. And part of the problem is, you know, a lot of times in government, when you are the regulator and you view yourself as the regulator, I always thought that regulators ought to create a climate and an environment for businesses to succeed. You know, regulators don't decide whether or not a certain business entity is legal or otherwise. The legislature decides that. If it's a legal business, as the regulator, you are out there, you want to to develop this environment where they can be successful. They're the ones pulling in the tax dollars. These restaurants and bars that have these ABO licenses, having ease of administration for the bartenders to get their licenses done and everything else, because the sooner that they can open, the sooner that they can charge, start selling alcohol, the sooner they can start collecting sales tax dollars. I mean, it makes perfect sense. If you're the recipient, right, and you're getting, for all intents and purposes, this mailbox money that's coming to the government, right, where you're just going to the mailbox and there's a check and you're going to cash it, you want to get that process done with so that you can start getting those checks sooner rather than later. Because you have the need to finance a lot of different services that are going on in the city of New Orleans. And it was always kind of mind-boggling to me why we're not approaching it in this fashion and why we tend to complicate these issues one way or the other. And every day that's lost is money lost to the city. And that ought to be what's up on banners in all of these offices. If you haven't resolved issues today, we just lost another day of revenue. So that they have an understanding and connecting the dots that without revenue, we can't pay you as city employees. If we don't maximize the collection of revenue, as prices go up and, you know, the consumer price index or whatever, so that we start collecting more sales taxes, you're less likely to get a pay raise because there's not money there. So you have a vested interest in processing these applications, making sure that there's a seamless throughput, making sure that the client is happy, the business owner who's applying for these licenses, making sure that you're removing all of the barriers, because without them paying, sooner rather than later, the likelihood of you getting a pay raise is slim and none, and Slim just walked out the door. I'm not sure what it takes to motivate people, but you know, the reality is that somebody in these organizations has to be involved in independent thinking, understanding the entity's interests, and that we have to make sure that we're doing things on behalf of the entity and in its best interests. And it's as simple as these kind of, you know, activities like the issuing of permits and this and that and otherwise. You got to make it easy. It can't be hard. It's the same thing, you know, building permits. And I never understood this. And we have a problem in the city. I think we have a problem in a number of the parishes in the surrounding area. It's not just the city. The sooner you can get a building permit, the sooner all of the disciplines, the construction companies, the plumbers, the electricians, the this, the that, start buying goods and purchasing goods to put into this house. Now, all of these transactions may not be taxable, but having said that, the sooner that we get that on the property tax rolls, right, the sooner they are obligated to pay property tax. Meanwhile, we don't appropriately staff. We can't get this done. We're behind the eight ball. It's taken weeks, if not months, to get a building permit. And the whole thing is all clogged up. And I can promise you, if that collective group of people, if they were making money off of this, this process would not be as cumbersome as it is today. They would recognize the interest that they have in streamlining the process, getting things done, making sure that they made the follow-up calls when they had the information available to them, as opposed to waiting 2 or 3 days, because time is money. And if it was them not making the money until the process is done, guess how fast this gets done, right? They would probably get in their car and drive it to the job site and hand the damn permit to people. And the only way you get people thinking in this respect is that you've got to be preaching this each and every day. This is the goal of public service. We need to put people into the stream of commerce sooner rather than later, because it's the only way that we can increase our tax collections, grow our economy, be able to pay for the services that we need to pay for, resolve our $70 million deficit. Because with a $70 million deficit, no one could propose a pay raise for a city worker. Wake up. We've got to make this process easier for people, not harder. Because in an indirect way, you're putting money in your pocket if you do this successfully. To establish that culture is a process by which there has to be a constant reminder of what the mission and the vision is of each individual department, what the goals are. There should be milestones set, you know, that we can't have an average of 14 to 21 day delays. The processing has to be get from the point of accepting the application to the point of making a decision has to fall within a reasonable time period. I don't know what it is. They do. And then we judge everybody by whether or not they're able to move this through that process in the allotted amount of time. Plain and simple. Time is money. Everybody knows that. Everybody realizes it. We just got to get people motivated to be thinking out of the box and implement these programs. And the left hand has to know what the right hand's doing, because the irony here is the council actually in the spring passed some rules to make it easier for all of this. And for whatever reason, it doesn't seem like this is quite worked out, and it's almost as if safety and permits has bastardized the process even more. But why would we do that? For what purpose? I mean, you have any number of ways to check these folks, right? Sales tax audits. You're collecting sales tax. Bar audits are the easiest audits in the world to conduct. Everybody that sells them liquor has an obligation under the law when you walk in as a sales tax collector to tell you every bottle of liquor they ever sold this bar or this restaurant for a period of time. You figure out the average pour per bottle, you go do an inventory of their liquor, and you issue an assessment. It may not be exact, but under the law, it could be somewhat arbitrary. And then the burden shifts, and they have to prove that you're wrong and they're right. But what happens as a result of that process is that each other gains a better understanding of the expectations and the business practices and the principles that are going to be applied through the collection of those sales taxes. And I know this is a little off subject, but it's not. Because all of this goes to creating that culture, that landscape, that environment by which everyone understands how the rules are going to be enforced and what the expectations are. And if there's a way for the collectors to make it easier for folks to pony the money up, and we may need to get a little bit more creative about how we notify them or otherwise, and we have so many different avenues that we're communicating with business owners in this city, we need to take advantage of every one of those avenues. Because, again, we don't want to put them out of business. Right? We want them to stay in business. We want them to provide the sustenance to a healthy local economy that's under distress right now. Now more than ever is not the time to be playing silly-ass games with business owners. Right now is when you want to be clicking on all cylinders, making it about as easy as possible to open a business in this city. Running a business is hard. Hell, we lost, I think, three restaurants and bars announced last week they're closing. That's not good. It's not good at all. So you got to count your blessings as to the ones that you have now. So it'll be interesting to see, and maybe we'll talk with Freddie King at the beginning of next week. It's Friday here, and I totally understand. I know there's a lot going on there, and a lot of meetings that they're trying to get a lot of things with deadlines and timelines resolved. But we always appreciate Freddie coming on. He's never let us down ever, and he didn't this time either because he communicated with us right away, and we appreciate same. But we'll try and talk about this again in the very near future. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.